reboot again in regards to just finishing up for the afternoon portion of this forum. As I introduce myself, my name is Jayshree. The rest of the time, I do have a presentation, but I'm kind of going to go breeze through it. But at the end of the day, I really want to hear from you as patients and caregivers. I did miss you two ladies. We actually went around and introduced ourselves, and I think you needed to step out to get some. It was cold in here. I did call. I'll call engineering to raise up the temperature. They should be doing that. It may take a little bit of time. There is also, I do want to remind you, a survey. If you can, fill that out. Your feedback is very important. And feedback is important in the sense that you also have to let us know if you enjoy coming to this forum here in Hackensack in the future, if you want another patient forum. To happen, and if Hackensack is a convenient site for all of you to come. If you can help us fill that out, and again, please include Dr. Goldberg and myself as a reference in case, in regards to your thoughts of how we could improve this patient forum in the future. We hope to have another one in the next maybe year or two. Again, as long as the funding and stuff happens from the MDS Foundation. So I want to hear from those two ladies. I think I missed them and missed next to her as well. I didn't get to know your name. So if you can introduce yourselves and how long you've had MDS and any summer plans.
I'm from Boston and I'm a caregiver.
Okay, thank you. Any summer plans?
She's not my caregiver.
Supporter.
She's my traveler.
And the driver.
She's my daughter, and I'm Lisa. I'm from Boston. Sorry, I've had a laryngitis. I've lost my voice. I think I'm just kind of in the early stages of being diagnosed with MDS.
Any summer plans?
Any summer plans? Going to the Cape, Cape Cod.
Nice. We have another one going to Martha's Vineyard.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Reyes, and I'm a patient of Dr. Andre Goa.
I'm
a patient here. And I'm just here because I'm interested in knowing about other blood cancers and their new treatments and how we can increase the quality of living and all that.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your support. This is great. All right, you in front of you, you probably have a lovely binder called Building Blocks of Hope, a patient and caregiver guide for living with MDS. So that was developed by Sandra Curtin. We call her Sandy. And she developed this in lieu of patient and caregiver responses back after they filled out a survey saying that we need this information, we need that information, we don't understand this and that related to MDS. So she got the idea of making a book pretty much and saying, let's combine all of this information. Let's teach anybody and everybody who wants to learn about MDS and put it together. So aside from having a hard copy, we also have it on our website, on the MDS Foundation website. You can go on it and download it for your reference or share it with a, I don't know, a friend, family member, whoever else wants to learn about MDS. It was, do want to tell you, our MDS Foundation has an International Nurse Leadership Board, which includes nurses from all over the world, not just United States, that we pretty much get together, we try to, in learning and sharing information about MDS and running these patient forums like this one to get experts like Dr. Goldberg and other physicians to share their knowledge and updates. So why was Sandy inclined again to develop this building blocks of hope. Well, patients and caregivers said that we need to understand the diagnosis of MDS. I need to know more about it. How is MDS diagnosed? What are the consequences of getting blood transfusions? How can I maintain myself healthy? Nutrition, what can I do to keep my stamina up? All those things come into place. So hence this book came about. It has tools and strategies for success that we hope will help you as patients and caregivers, driver, whoever else is here to, you know, learn about MDS. And who to ask for help. We don't want you guys to Google everything related to MDS. We want you guys to hopefully have some means of direction to go to, such as, again, the book that was developed, and a plan, an MDS plan of how your journey will flow. For some patients, has been on Revlimid for 7+ years, going further on, and he's doing well. Some is newly diagnosed MDS. For some, it's beginning stages. Don't know yet what's going to happen next. So, if you go around this room, we introduce ourselves, right, and we learn that everybody has been diagnosed at different times. But in addition to that, if we went around the room again and asked, we missed you guys. I forgot. No, we'll come back to you. Yeah, we didn't ask you. I'm sorry. What type of MDS you guys have? Everybody in this room that has MDS will probably have a different form of MDS. Not one person will have a similar kind. Why? We're all genetically different. That's what makes us so unique. Go ahead. I missed you guys. I apologize. Please introduce you. Yeah. Well, there's time. Go ahead.
Mary Ann Chambers, Kevin's wife, he has MDS. And as far as vacation plans, I hope we do have some kind soon.
She's waiting for a surprise from you.
No, we're taking our granddaughter to Disney.
Oh, nice.
My name is Peter, and I'm here to escort anybody who needs an escort.
He's everybody's supporter here. All right. Well, we have two lovely ladies in the back that you met on signing in. You guys know Deborah and Janice and her daughter that they're here from MDS Foundation. Feel free, please, after you fill out the survey, to give them the survey back so that it goes back to the head office for, you know, downloading information and updates as far as your feedback. All right, so what is MDS? I don't want to repeat what Dr. Goldberg already went through because it's repetitive. MDS is a cancer. It's broken bone marrow. It's not functioning, like he said, related to a garden collected with weeds, right? And the weeds are just going out of control. We need something to stop the weeds from growing. Hence, we have different treatment options available, such as Vidaza, Dacogen, Revlimid, ATG, and the grand cure for MDS, we know, is as a bone marrow transplant. That is the only cure. MDS, as I mentioned, is not one disease. It's a group of different diseases originating in bone marrow. And that's what I meant earlier, that in this room, everybody has a different form and different kind of MDS. Not everybody's MDS is the same. Your MDS is different than hers, his. You kind of go around, everybody's is different. And we know that MDS cells are abnormal in shape and size. They become dysplastic, meaning they're not normal looking, hence resulting in low blood counts of different kinds, whether it be white blood cell, red blood cell, or platelets. This is a nice slide because it gives you a visual perspective of what's happening within your bone marrow. This is your bone marrow. This is your bone marrow. This is your stem cell, and it differentiates between a myeloid and a lymphoid. And the myeloid is the one that makes, again, your neutrophils, basophils, eosinophils, monocytes, platelets, and red blood cells. So it makes up your system in regards to white blood cell, red blood cell, and platelets. And if it's not functioning properly, then it becomes abnormal. And abnormal meaning it creates immature cells related to exposure, possibly from chemicals, age, mutations that are happening within your DNA that we sometimes don't have any control over. Hence, you know, peripheral cytopenias develop. And that's developed and visualized on a regular CBC, a blood count that you guys get when you come in for your reports to look at. So how do we diagnose somebody with MDS? In the book, it gives you a nice overview of all the different testing that we have to do to make sure patients truly have MDS and not something else, like maybe vitamin B12 deficiency that may look like MDS, but they don't have MDS. They have a vitamin B12 deficiency with a hemoglobin of, say, 5. And you're saying, wow, is that possible? It is. People can come in with a bad hemoglobin and they think, oh my God, they have MDS. Give me a bone marrow transplant tomorrow, like, you know, in the show House. That doesn't happen. We have to do the proper workup, and that includes a whole bunch of testing and making sure that patients actually have MDS. Mm-hmm. Sure. That's part of the rule outs to make sure your levels are within normal limits. The hemolysis panel is make sure that you don't have another form of disease called red blood cell dysplasia, which can happen. There's other forms of hemolysis like ITP. Patients may have that in lieu of having MDS. We have to make sure the patient truly does not have a breakdown of red blood cells. So that's part of that. The TSH is a thyroid panel. So sometimes patients present on initial diagnosis, in addition to peripheral cytopenias, blood counts being low, a thyroid problem, a testosterone problem. So we want to make sure that those levels are fixed. Because if you fix those levels, sometimes the patient may feel better. MDS itself, yeah. Renal is kidney function and hepatic is liver function. We need a baseline assessment. When we first meet a brand new patient for a consultation, we like to do those testing. Why? Because we need to know where you are on initial point of meeting. If we're going to know you for, say, 8 years, I want to reflect back and say Joe had a perfect kidney function when we met, and his kidney function 8 years later is still perfect. So we have something to compare it to.
Okay,
it has
nothing to do with the symptoms that you're
No. No. Well, that's a different issue. Yeah, that's a different issue. Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. Goldberg mentioned about the different classification systems that exist. And again, we have to know which category of MDS we fall into to understand what type it is and how we are going to address it for treatment, which is the FAB, WHO, there's a WHO to updated 2008. And these are the different kinds of, again, breakdown of MDS, different subtypes. Now we have the IPSS and we have the revised version of IPSS. We here in Hackensack follow the revised version, but we've used definitely still as a basic understanding, still use the IPSS, the regular IPSS as a basic understanding of MDS in understanding prognostic factors. So this is a nice reference in case anybody wants to go on the website of MDS Foundation. IPSSR-calculator, if you plug in your information, it will give you a prognostic IPSS score. It's right here. And sorry if it's not clear. It's www.mds-foundation.org/IPSS-R-calculated/. And it will, you plug in your information, the necessary information like your platelets, your white count, your cytogenetic information. If you have that basic information, you plug it in, it will give you a score. And that is your score that you will have a discussion with your physician about in understanding your prognosis, what treatment options you will be going through or consider. The facts about IMDS, which Dr. Goldberg also mentioned earlier, average age is at diagnosis is 73. MDS remains an incurable malignancy for majority of patients. We know transplant is the cure. You guys are familiar with Robin Roberts? Yeah. I use her as a reference because she developed breast cancer first, received treatment, right? And then she went into remission with that. A few years later, she developed MDS. She received a few doses of treatment while she was awaiting transplant to be considered, and luckily her sister was a perfect match. So she went through the stem cell transplant as an option. And hopefully she's in the cure zone, cure mode. The leading cause of death is the disease itself, for roughly about 80%. Risk stratified treatment strategies are key to optimal therapeutic options and outcomes. It is. The leading cause of death is the disease itself, in addition to the comorbidities that the patients have. So it's hard to differentiate sometimes which one is causing what. Patients may have, say, heart disease, diabetes, or some kind of autoimmune component. It may be one triggering the other, meaning the heart disease is what caused them to go in with a heart attack. But while they're hospitalized dealing with the heart attack, they developed an infection. But because they have MDS, right, it could be a causality of a triggering effect. So majority of the time, patients who have MDS, they most of the time have multiple comorbidities that they're dealing with. So it's so important for all of you, aside from MDS, whoever your primary care doctor is or other physicians that are following you for other things like cardiac, kidney, or other issues, make sure that you are communicating what your oncologist is doing. More of a reason, Randy, for you to make sure, again, communication with other physicians to know each one is, if they're not communicating with each other, you let them know what treatment you're getting and how it's impacting you. Again, if your hemoglobin is trending low to 6-7s and you have a history of a heart attack and your cardiologist doesn't know that you're dealing with MDS, your cardiologist, you will have to be your advocate to making sure your levels stay above a certain level that your cardiologist would want you to be, so you prevent another heart attack. So individualized treatment is important because, again, everybody in this room has an individualized plan. Your plan is different than his because you may have a combination issue you're dealing with potentially. Don't know yet where you're standing, but you may just have MDS. Again, it's an individualized plan because everybody's MDS is going to be different. And knowing what type you have is going to be the key starter in understanding how you're going to take care of yourself. Performance status, comorbidities, which we just talked about, primary versus secondary type of MDS. So, you know, similar to Robin Roberts, she had breast cancer first and then developed MDS. Well, did you have prostate cancer first and then developed MDS? lifestyle, you know, what cytogenetic abnormalities do you have? We talked about Dr. Goldberg talked about transfusion, supportive care, growth factors, Revlimid as an option, Vidaza as an option, Dacogen, chemotherapy. Now, there are certain patients that may be eligible to receive chemotherapy or want to get chemotherapy because they're pending stem cell transplant next as their option. Investigational drug agents. Now, Dr. Goldberg gave a website to you guys as a reference, www.clinicaltrials.gov. Feel free to go on the website to get the most updated information and then contact the facility if you're interested and if you think you're eligible to participate for the trial. Now, mechanisms of action and therapies under investigation. These are a bunch of different things that are available and available in a sense. Some are done with as far as clinical trials, but this is what clinical trials is, investigational. It's still in the running. It's not approved by FDA yet. So that's where you as patients sometimes come about and say, oh, I want to, you know, see if I'm eligible to participate. Key principles of therapies in MDS, allogeneic bone marrow transplant remains, again, as I mentioned, the only potential cure. Age alone should not exclude active therapies. And as Dr. Goldberg said, give at least 6 months to see if the treatment is working. And in the world of MDS, if stable is the end product, it's a good thing. Like Martha Stewart said, it's a good thing, it's a great thing. If stable is a good thing. Proactive management of side effects is in the early phases are very important because it will deter you from stopping therapy and helping you stay on it to, you know, get over the hump, if we want to call it. Why? Because if you stay on it, then we will at least know whether or not this therapy is working or not. So this is what happens in your bone marrow when you have a disease burden very high. In the bone marrow, as Dr. Goldberg mentioned, you're cleaning out those weeds in the garden, which is your bone marrow. And then you, as you're cleaning it out, slowly you're replacing it with good stem cells and cleaning it out for you to have good stem cells that are functioning and doing their job that they're supposed to be. Early toxicities may be difficult and or discouraging for the patient in the beginning and say, oh, I want to give up, this is too much. That's where you as caregivers, supporters, daughters, wives, friend, whoever, they're your cheerleaders to help you plug along and pull through, because that's what's going to keep you going. You know, going shopping, taking a walk, anything, traveling if you can, doing day trips, going to functions, enjoying some, gardening, simple thing like gardening. If anything that you enjoy doing outside of your home setting sometimes is good to move and keep moving. Time is required for the best response, as I just mentioned. Setting expectations is very important. Understanding what you're going into in the beginning is also important. You don't want to go in and say, oh yes, I'm expecting a response in 2 weeks. Where's my result? Okay. You have to make sure you communicate what your expectations are. Say, for example, you know, having a grandchild, I want to make sure I'm there for my grandchild's birth. That's something of a goal. Fine, we'll see how we can work on it and to help you to get to that goal to make sure you're there for the grandchild, you know, to come about, or a graduation, wedding, whatever. We'll pass this slide for a second. And this one too. This is a slide that Sandy's patient actually put up as a response to a patient who tolerated lenalidomide, which is Revlimid, for over 10 years, and just showing the response of how the patient did so well with it, and the patient had a deletion 5q as a cytogenetic abnormality. What can I do to stay healthy? And that was one of the questions that was asked earlier. Having a balanced diet, daily activity, keep moving, the longer you stay still, the longer you will want to just not want to do many things, and you will become stagnant with your body itself. I tell all my patients, whether they have MDS, lung cancer, GI, any type of cancer, and even if they don't have cancer, I tell them, keep moving. Keep moving. That is your activity. Exercise, it could just mean a walk around the block, walk in the house, avoid infection. Use common sense. If somebody's sneezing, coughing, and they don't look well, stay away from them. Carry a Purell with you. Simple thing like that. Avoid bleeding. Again, you're not gonna go jump off a plane, you know, or do some hacking of the trees or something like that, and making sure you prevent that from bleeding, especially if you have low platelets. Continue to enjoy doing things that you love. Say, for example, know your limitations. You know, if you're able to just do, say, gardening alone, and that takes a lot of your time and energy, and you enjoy it, stay with it. At the end of the day, we want you to live and have a great quality of life. Get enough rest. And if that means taking 2 naps a day, go for it. But if you're recharged and you're ready to do more activities, go for it. Ask for help when needed. Take advantage of available resources, and they're all included in your book. Explore the building blocks of hope. Be an active participant in building hope. You guys are your best advocates. We're here to ride your journey and help you through that. This is additional information for your reference, Healthy Body, Healthy Mind. Which is important for you to, if you want to go on the websites, feel free to browse through it. Becoming a partner in your care, developing an MDS plan. And this is included, again, as an online patient advocacy initiative. It's an interactive online format for you guys, buildingblocksofhope.com, so you can actually go on the website and develop your plan. And it's a create personalized MDS plan for you. Tools for tracking your progress are included between pages 85 and 91. And again, online resources are great for people that are computer savvy or they want to use computers. In addition to paper. And patient and caregivers, again, may contact a patient liaison by calling, again, MDS Foundation. We have Audrey Hassan as a reference, along with Deborah and Janice. So this is the tabs that are included in your booklet, tab 1 through 6, and it has a whole plan for you as patient developing your own MDS plan. And now we leave the form to you guys. Let's talk about it.
By the way, are there slides on the website?
Yeah, I think so. If they're not, Deborah can email it to you. If you give her your email, she'll email it to you. Just let her know who wants the slides. She'll be happy to email it to your email address. Not a problem. There's no copyright on these. We only love sharing. So the forum is left to you guys. Do you guys have any questions or any thoughts? Yes, Mr. Vine.
Something comes to mind. Being a 17-year survivor, I have several doctors. I would recommend, if possible, to have all your doctors affiliated with the same hospital. I ran into a terrible problem with kidney stone situation where I was admitted to a new hospital. And when they saw my MDS, the blood readings, they got very excited, and I ran into dealing with an infectious disease doctor and spent several weeks getting additional treatments, and it was a nightmare. So that's something that I would recommend.
It's very challenging, Mr. Vine. You're right. When it comes to physicians or practitioners that are unfamiliar with learning about MDS or knowing about MDS, and when they encounter it, it's a new world to them. And that's where you, as advocates of yourself, as well as caregivers that are with you here today, carry this book with you and tell your physicians, here, you need to learn this disease process after you finish taking care of me. And it's more of a motivation because, you know, there are physicians and practitioners out there that do not know about MDS. It's still new.
Even practicing in college.
Yes. Yes. And it's scary, but that's where you're going to give them the reference and say, go on the mdsfoundation.org website to learn about it. Use your book as a reference to say, here, this is your homework, because I'm doing my homework, you do yours, and learn about it, and then we can have a conversation.
And they shouldn't feel insulted, right?
No, it's not about that. It's not about that. It's about sharing information. I don't know a lot of information about certain things, but that's where I go to learn about it, right? I research it. I need to find out. That's why you guys are here today to listen to Dr. Goldberg, to learn more about it. How can you learn more to improve or to change or change your treatment plan or whatever you need to do? There's a reason why you're here today, for support, even just to get hope, something like that. That's why, very true, Mr. Wine, to keep all of your physicians informed what you have, if there's a new drug, new medication that you've been prescribed, make sure all of your doctors know about it. You'd be surprised how helpful that is. Often, it just takes a few minutes to pick up the phone to speak to the nurse or whoever and just say, can you add that to my medication list because that's what I'm taking? And can you pass it on the information to the doctor so that he or she knows that I'm on a new blood thinner?
Excuse me, Mr. Vine, did you use the same doctor over the past 17 years and where are you being treated now?
We're in central New Jersey, so I go to Robert Wood Johnson, and I try to have all my doctors affiliated with that hospital. Yeah.
Does anybody else want to share anything? Any other questions?
Yes.
That's a great question. The question is MDS broken down by countries in regards to the incidence? I do not know of any data like that per se. I know they discuss there are certain areas that do have higher incidence than others. It depends on. There's certain countries that are more focused in learning more about MDS and doing more work with it than others.
Do you know which ones have more incidence?
Well, no, I do not know the number-wise, but there are countries like Italy, there are a lot of physicians that do a lot of work with MDS. For aplastic anemia, Asian countries tend to have a higher incidence. That I do know, of aplastic anemia versus us, meaning the Western countries. So they have more research that they've done with aplastic anemia because their incidence is higher. So we get a lot of, information-wise for research regarding ATG, we get information from them as well and what treatments they use for aplastic anemia. Yeah, China and Korea, yeah. Yes.
I'm sorry, I'm having a little trouble hearing.
there are a lot of physicians from Italy that have done a lot of work research on MDS. So when we have an MDS meeting, which just happened in Washington D.C. about a month ago or so, I think, Deb, right? Yeah. It was an international MDS symposium meeting. That's for physicians and healthcare providers. So they hold that meeting every year, and every 2 years, I believe. Every 2 years. So every 2 years. So the next one will be in 2017. This time it happened to be in Washington. So physicians from all over the world, wherever they're doing research on MDS, aplastic anemia type of diseases, cancers, they come over and they present their research. I don't have the updated information from that meeting as far as the new updates, but they will be published soon. I have to find, you know what, the best person to reach out to be would be Deborah, MDS Foundation. So put that on your hot list if you're interested in getting the updates. Every meeting that's ever run in the United States, especially in the science world, they have updates. So if physicians or practitioners are unable to attend, you can go and research to find out where there is an updated information. It's a more of a synopsis type of a information session that they can give you or inform you to learn about what the meeting was, held on, and if there is any updated research. So are South Americans too, don't get me wrong. I think there's a lot of people here that drink a lot of wine. Everybody does build up a tolerance of some means in what their threshold is. So his threshold is different than yours. And it varies, differentiating to the type of MDS everybody has. With fatigue? Well, we can go around, and if anybody wants to share their comment on how impactful fatigue has been towards your diagnosis.
Just clarify one thing you just said. You said the fatigue factor varies with the type of MDS that you have. Now, by that, do you mean whether you have refractory RCMD or just RA or excess blasts and so forth?
Correct. So your subtype is different. That's what I meant by earlier. Your type of MDS. MDS is a clonal bunch of different subtypes, okay, of different variations of MDS. And what I meant was the subtypes differentiate in how your disease is progressing or presenting. Not progressing, but presenting. His MDS is different than your wife's.
Now, I understand that part, but is there a correlation between the fatigue factor and the generic tag that's on the MDS, i.e. RCMD,
yes.
RA, etc.?
Yes, there is. And I think Dr. Goldberg can definitely expand on that more. I don't know if there's any specific research done with the different variations, but there is a direct correlation because one requires, not one, but there are different types that require more transfusions than others, like RARS. They require transfusions pretty much on a regular basis versus RCM. It does vary. Yeah. They do. I have to ask Dr. Goldberg if he went or not. I don't know if he went this year, but I know he does get invited.
People, please use the microphones because you guys are having a private conversation.
I apologize. Okay.
I don't know what the heck you're asking.
So she asked whether Dr. Goldberg went to the international meeting that was ran in Washington just this 2 months ago. End of April, and I'm not sure if he went or not, but I know he gets invited. I hope he got a chance to go because it's very informative in learning updated research, whether it be only if it's a lab kind of based, you know, knowledge or research.
Were you there, Jayshree?
I was not able to make it that weekend. I had another engagement, but I'm hoping maybe in the next 2 years. I did go to Germany, the one then, that was held 2 years ago in Germany. So that was really nice to learn kind of like the combination therapies that were coming about.
I think Dr. Goldberg went to that.
He did? He told you?
I think so.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll have to have another forum to learn about the updates from him. Yes.
To follow up on that, I have not had a fatigue factor, but I do get transfusions when the hemoglobin is 8. That's my cutoff.
So does your hemoglobin, if you didn't get your checkup for your CBC, does your fatigue come about?
After 17 years, the body accommodates.
Uh-huh.
I think if it, at times it drops maybe to 7.5 and then I feel,
then you feel it.
More exhausted.
Okay, so for you the number correlates to the symptom.
Yeah.
When it drops. Anybody else want to share? You heard that, sir? Okay. Can you speak in?
He worked until how you were what? Only said 19, not that long. He worked a good 10 years after he was diagnosed. And occasionally his numbers would go down to 7. Then we live in New Jersey, he would go into New York to work. And he also played tennis in the early part of it. And he did all right with that. And then finally the doctor said, I don't think you should play tennis anymore. You know, it would be too taxing on him. So, someone who was physically active also.
Mr. Vine, was the decision to treat your kidney stones, was it determined by the fact that you had MDS? In other words, would they not do lithotripsy because they were worried about something, or did they do an open surgery so that they could remove the stone, which would have been less dangerous for you?
Now, that was a separate situation. The kidney stones I've had through the years, much younger, yeah. The treatment didn't had nothing to do with the MDS. Right? Yeah. Laparoscopic.
Do you want to tell us about your fatigue, sir? The one in the corner. Yeah.
My fatigue is always with me, but interestingly, Dr. Goldberg mentioned today that I should go get my thyroid checked primarily because my numbers are below the scale.
Yeah.
Well, pretty much all of them, red, white, hemoglobin, platelets. But, you know, I don't think it's the NDS at all. And
I'm sorry, I'm not hearing. What did you say? I'm not hearing.
What can you hear? The whole thing?
No, you're not talking after the thyroid.
I can't hear you now.
He wears hearing aids, so he has to have coffee here.
I did. Can you hear me now?
I can, Verizon.
I didn't hear the sentence after the thyroid, that you should get your thyroid checked.
I don't think it's the MDS. I think all my numbers are lower than the scale. You know, meaning all my numbers, the platelets, the red, white, the hemoglobin. But I don't know why I'm always tired.
So that's one of the differentials. That's what Dr. Goldberg was referring to you, is that to make sure that you always want to rule out and not blame MDS, MDS, MDS. You want to make sure that other things are looked at. Again, that's the work, that's part of the workup. As practitioners, we want to make sure we've taken a look at a whole bunch of things. Is it vitamin D deficiency? Is it vitamin B deficiency? Is it thyroid? Is it testosterone? All of those things come into play. So it's a little bit of a workup depending on a symptom that you may be presenting. Yes, ma'am?
And depression.
And depression is a huge component that's probably not included in a workup, but I think it's important to discuss and talk about how you're feeling. And talk about your emotions, but it depends on the person too. Are they talkative? Do they want to keep everything inside of them? And that's where you as caregivers or supporters need to come with the patient sometimes to help us, because it's a team effort. It's not just, you know, one person deal, one-to-one. It's the team component, and getting your input, believe it or not, is as important as the patient's input about what's happening.
Do you believe that testosterone treatments are working?
We've used testosterone treatments on occasion with a few patients, and it has helped. You just have to be very careful about letting the primary care doctor know that we're instituting testosterone treatment.
Yeah, because he suggested I try that, but then I go to the web and it doesn't look too good to me.
With any drug, whichever form you're going to take, whether it be a pill, injection, a cream, any means, that's a medicine that you're getting in your system and it's being absorbed, you're going to possibly have some means of reaction. It's a risk and a benefit ratio. And that's a discussion you should have with your practitioner before starting. And I tell patients, if you're going to take any vitamin, any herbs that you're not sure whether you should take it or not, or buy, write down the name and information before you buy and spend tons of money. Don't waste your money. Get the information, get approval, get the doctor's or practitioner's approval before you buy. To make sure it's okay to take in conjunction with the treatments you're going to be taking, because they do interact sometimes, and you don't want to counteract something that you're receiving for your cancer.
I'd like to understand that any drug that you're going to try, it should run 4 to 6 months before you know, or is there a specific that I'm missing?
So it depends on what drug you're referring to. If you're referring to Vidaza, Dacogen, Revlimid is different. Revlimid, you pretty much know about 2 months into the starting of the treatment whether or not it's going to work. So it does vary depending on the drug. The Procrit and the Aranesp, any growth factor, we usually give about 8 weeks, so that's about 2 months.
Yeah, my doctor gave it 6 weeks, and it doesn't seem to be working.
Okay, so then you have to go to plan B again, differentiating and trying it out. Sometimes we've used combination of different things to try, to tweak it. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
What is your input about the new mode of treatment, which is called immunotherapy?
It's a great question. So immunotherapy is basically tricking your immune system to kind of kill the cancer or send a signal or send a message to kill the cancer. So I know that they're thinking about it in the means for MDS. I just haven't seen any clinical trials come about yet, but I think it's going to be in the works, and it's a new field that is evolving in a blow-up fashion for different other cancers, specifically because I work in the thoracic in the phase one clinical trial, we're doing a lot of work with immunotherapy with lung, pancreatic, right now. So we're looking into those cancers. As far as MDS, I haven't seen any, but that does not mean it's not going to come about. They may be using that very, very much in the near future, I hope, to see if it works. Will be encouraging if it is. And I'm sure we're going to get updates from Dr. Goldberg about that. Yeah. Thank you so much again for everybody for coming in today on a Saturday. And please hand in your surveys if that's important.